I just want to share for first a few minutes here from the second chapter of Acts. And my mic's still on, so apparently I can do this. All right. Now, I just, I've only ever done this in all the time I've been speaking. I've only ever done this one time before, and this time, I really felt this is what I was supposed to do. So if you want to hear the other one, I'll stay afterwards, and because it's pretty good, I think, but let's read the first four verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Last week was Pentecost Sunday. In the church calendar, we call it Pentecost Sunday. And I just want to talk to you about being Pentecostal, and I want to be being Pentecostal from the Bible. Okay, fair enough. I mean, you know, there are other places we could do it from, but I'm just saying, you know, church history or whatever. But from the Bible, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. My father was a Foursquare pastor. I've been in Pentecostal church all my life. And I myself, by title, I am a Pentecostal pastor or preacher. My idea of what it means to be Pentecostal is really autobiographical. I mean, it's, actually at my age, I've forgotten so much. It's more like a memoir. You know, it's what I remember, you know, and sometimes what I make up. But you know, it had to do with when I grew up in Glendale, California, and you were either Mormon, Jewish, or Presbyterian. And my dad was a Pentecostal preacher. It was kind of like, play Sesame Street with that one, right? This is the one that's not like the others, right? And so you had an idea, and, you know, we preached the gospel, but we talked about, you know, we were known for speaking in tongues and praying for the healing, and there's certain groups that said, you know, we are... you know, of the flesh, maybe, but more likely of the devil. Anybody remember those days? Anybody? Too young of a crowd. Okay. Well, let me. They were there, and I grew up in those. But I just want to speak about what it means to be Pentecostal from this standpoint, because I think it's really significant for us to see in the life of the people of God how everything changed on this particular day of Pentecost. Jesus deliberately chose this day to fulfill His promise to baptize His followers with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about, is just this, who are we, and what are the times in which we live? So on this day, for hundreds of years, able-bodied men were required, I guess they'll just come if they wanted to, but able-bodied men from a certain distance were required to come to Jerusalem. It's one of three feasts. There was the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Weeks, and there was the, which is also the Feast of Pentecost. There was this other one. No, Sukkot was different, wasn't it? Sukkot, yeah, which is the Tabernacles, and then the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, and then Passover. So on the Passover was 50 days before this. The word Pentecost means 50. So 50 days before Pentecost was Passover. And up until Jesus' death on the cross, His burial and resurrection, people came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, because that was when they celebrated the deliverance out of Egypt and the blood on the doorpost. Remember that story? If there's blood on the doorpost, the eldest son is spared. Pharaoh didn't do that. His son was killed, and that really was what expedited getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so that's what they celebrated on Passover. Jesus chose that day that day was chosen for his death on the cross. Forever changing Passover. Forever changing that. So on the night He was betrayed, that Passover meal He shared with His disciples, it was kind of like the last Passover meal. From then on, it's the meal in the kingdom, right? Jesus talks about that in Luke 22. So Passover was forever changed. 40 days later, He ascended to heaven, but on that day, 10 days before Pentecost, He told the disciples, don't go. You're called to the world, just like me, but don't go there yet. You know, stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? Right? Good. So, That's what happened. Jesus fulfilled his promise. So why? Why this day? Well, on this day, for hundreds of years, the church had celebrated the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And now, the Holy Spirit comes. So on this day, pretty much at this time in the ministry of Jesus and on this day, time gets divided in half. We even talk about B.C. and A.D., don't we? It's about the coming of Christ. Time really does get divided in half. But the real division comes as the Holy Spirit comes. And now, from now on the day of Pentecost, the people of God do not celebrate the giving of the law. They celebrate the giving of the Spirit. And so then there's that difference. And so we're not under the law. And of course, Jesus goes on and Paul goes on to make that very clear. That we're in the Spirit. We're not under the law. We're filled with the Spirit. Those are different, right? Grace and truth came. The law came through Moses, John says. Grace and truth through Jesus Christ. So this has nothing. This is saying nothing negative about the law. It's only saying that was before. That's the old covenant. Now there's a new covenant. That was the old creation. Now there's a new creation. That was the old wine. Now there's new wine. So there's the writer of Hebrews says there's a new and a living way. There's a better priesthood, a better sacrifice, right? So on this day then, since that day, in fact, many people call this the birthday of the church. Since that day then, this day is about celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what I think it means to be Pentecost. I think the Pentecostal church, that's what Jesus intended. He wants his church to be Pentecostal. And I don't really know don't tell all your friends right away, but seriously, by biblical definition, all churches are Pentecostal because we own our origin to this day where we are no longer under the law, but we're filled with the Spirit. That's why Paul says, walk in the Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to do, so it's all about the Spirit. Now, they heard all this, the people did, this crowd, the ones that had come there to celebrate the giving of the law. And they're there. In fact, it says in verse 5, they were dwelling or staying in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So there was a lot of people, a lot of foreigners there. And they heard them speaking in tongues in their languages. So there's that noise, if you will. There's also the noise of the wind that comes in and the visual effect of the fire sitting on each of them. This is not your average day of Pentecost, right? It's a one-off. And it forever changed that day in terms of how the people of God come to him. So then Peter gets up to explain to everybody. They thought maybe they're drunk and all of that. He says, no, it's not. This is not a human thing, right? This is something different. So if I could just read verses 14 and following. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning." So he's saying this is not a human origin. What you're seeing here is not a human initiated event. Rather, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like those days, don't you? Yeah. So what is Peter saying? He said, he's just saying, Joel said it. So the interpretation of this event is this, that we're in the last days. Because in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So for sure, we're in the last days. There were the first days, right? Now there's the last days. Now he says this is a time where the Spirit will be upon all flesh. So now this is a time when the Spirit is on all flesh. There was a time when the Spirit was on some flesh. I mean, literally. Remember Moses, in fact, there's a couple of people that came to Moses and said, "Hey, there's these two guys over here, they're prophesying, they're not following you, you didn't send them out." And Moses said, "Leave them alone. I would that all men had this, all people had the Spirit of God on them." And maybe he kind of saw this day, and so that was the day of, you know, the former days, the old days, and the early days, and the days where the Spirit was on some people, Now we're in the last days, and the Spirit is for everyone. Now listen, we've got about 10 minutes here, so let me just kind of jump to the chase here. That means the Holy Spirit's for us, right? Every single one of us. Every single one of us have been given the Spirit. And that's important for a lot of reasons. It's important for all aspects of your character and what you're like, and it's your behavior and relationships. It certainly matters about ministry. I mean, it's all of that is involved in that. We are men and women of the Spirit. And so Joel knew this, you know, he cheated, right? God told him. He shouldn't have known this. It says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, really? So there's no gender limitations or restrictions. Churches often do that. Denominations often do that. Periods of time often do that. Cultures often do that. But God didn't. You know, the Spirit of God is for men and women, so there's no gender restrictions here. And furthermore, there's no age restrictions, right? Your young men shall see visions. Your old men dream dreams. And by the way, it's not like your young men have visions, and for the old guys, well, at least you can have happy thoughts about God. All right? I'm kind of sensitive to that, being one of the old guys now. Maybe you sense my pain there a little bit. No, what it means is whether you're young or old, you can hear from the Lord and share that. Because the whole point is so they can prophesy. It's not like, oh, man, I had a great word from the Lord. What is it? Well, I'm not going to tell you. It made me feel good, but that's for me. No, it's not for you. It's to share. So the point is that young or old, men or women, we hear from the Lord. And we can share that. And if that plays right into the whole thing in 1 Corinthians 12, where the Spirit of God distributes gifts to all of us for the common good. For all of us, nobody gets excluded. It doesn't matter what your role in the church is. Doesn't matter what your training is. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It matters that you are in the last days and you are therefore a person of the Holy Spirit. Right? Would it be okay to, I don't ever do this either, but would it be okay to say to somebody, you know, you're a man of the Spirit. You're a woman of the Spirit. Go ahead, do that. Say it to a man if he's a man, a woman if he's a woman, or she. I mean, all right? You're a woman of the Spirit. Yeah we are. Listen, we are people of the Spirit. Now, so there's no age restrictions. There's no gender limitations. Let me just, I can remember, Connie and I were pastoring in London, England, and it was a part of our assignment to work in the Muslim world. We actually lived there, pastored a church, and then we traveled from there into the Arab world mostly. And so when I was gone, Connie would preach, and sometimes she went with me. But in any event, our kids were all with us our time. Somehow our kids got old. I had no idea how come they're 41, 39, and 30. We fed them, I guess that's the trick. But anyway, they were all with us at that time. So it's been a while. Yeah. What was I going to say? Huh? Oh, yeah. At least one of you has to pay attention. You know, I did that the first time I pastored in Canby, Oregon. My opening sermon. And I was there, and I was going, and I forgot where I was. Remember where I am, because I might forget again. So I just came around like this, and I said, you know, I forgot the point I was going to make. I need some help here. And we had like 200 adults there, and it's like they all, I thought, there's at least 30 that are going to leave the church. Well, plus that, I forgot my Bible that day. I already can acknowledge that. I borrowed my Bible from a visitor. I didn't know he's a visitor, but they stayed because I thought, wow, this guy, he's like me. I can go here. So I said, you know, we can't go on. So we're all going, no. And finally somebody says, Ginger. Yeah, Ginger will know. So there's one really smart gal who apparently paid attention. I said, her name was Ginger Mill, and I said, Ginger, do you know? And she did. And wow, impressive. I said, never go away. Always be here. So we're back. We had a revival. There's a guy came into a revival. We had a Sunday evening meeting. And there was afterwards we called people forward that wanted to be prayed. You know, they were sick. This lady came forward, really great wonderful lady in our church. She came forward, and I was praying here. I think Connie and somebody else was praying for her, but we're praying for this, and her. And my daughter, who's 30, was like 5. And I just noticed that from the front seat, all of a sudden Chris got up, and she came and she put her hand on the lady's back. And it kind of a little low, so the lady, oh, she looked around, she saw it was Chris. And then she put her other hand like this and started praying for her. Now, where in the world did a 5-year-old girl get the idea that she could pray for an adult with other adults? Do you know what I'm saying? Well, I'd like to think she had the training of a mom and dad that are both pastors. Could have been the Holy Spirit. So I asked her. She said, well, I just felt I was supposed to. Really? Man, I love that, right? She didn't disqualify herself because she was a girl. She didn't disqualify herself because she was 5. We're praying for the sick, then we're praying for the sick. Amen. And I'm part of that. On the other hand, we have this friend, Jean Darnell, who was one of the first people I ever heard preach. And she was something else, and she's like 92 or 93. And I mean, she was preaching before they had color TVs. I think they had electricity, though. But she goes way back. And I was a kid. I was 5 years old when I heard her preach for the first time. And she's a good preacher. And I mean, God's really used her in a lot of ways. And so she's like 92 or 93. Well, you know, she discovered the internet. She's got her own computer. She has a blog. She puts out words of encouragement and scripture and prophecies. I mean, what? And this last conference, you know, ask Pastor Stephen to come back. This last conference, on one of the nights, they had a prayer time after the service. And they wanted her to get up at the beginning and to kind of pray like prophetic or see any words that she saw, that kind of thing. And in the old days, you know, Jean's like this, you know. She's just, I mean, she's got, she's 90, so she sits in a chair now. Oh, that's cool. I don't care. She can lay down if she wants to, you know. And it was like, you know, we'd gone back to the room, and so we had it on TV in our room, and Connie and I are going like, you know, I was thousands of feet away from where she was saying it, but watching on TV, and we could feel, whoa, wow. 92, she still got it. I'm just saying, age doesn't seem to matter, right? If we're men and women of the Spirit. I mean, men servants and maid servants, I think there's not a direct connection here to social class or whatever, but I think there is the idea, it really doesn't matter. You can be a servant. But he said, or his maid servants, his men servants, but I mean, anybody who serves him is the point. So there's absolutely no restrictions. You get that, right? And then whosoever will may come. That's the time we live in. It's not just for any limited group. It's just the whole thing is just the world. Now, one last thing just to say here from the last part of that, well, at least in terms of Scripture. verse 36 of Acts 2, as Peter's finishing his sermon. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So here we are on this day. I mean, you got to remember this is a real day. Just like today is a real day. That was a real day. Never happened before. You've got all these people, hundreds, thousands, that have come there to worship, they thought, or celebrate something else. Now they're getting caught up in all this noise and fire and stuff. And then this guy's saying that this is from Prophet Joel. They knew that prophecy. And now he says, now listen, you saw this. And you saw this group get baptized with the Holy Spirit, but it's for you, right? So it's like if it's like us, you know, you're over here, this group, you're the group that got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you were the ones that saw it and heard it. It's for you, but then it's for your children. Yeah. That's you, and then it's for all who are far off. See, Bill, you're really a far off over there. I'm just saying, you know, but you know that about yourself, right? Far out, right? So he just this is how it goes, right? We're in the age of the Spirit. We're in the last days, and it's for, yeah, it's real what you just saw. It wasn't a human idea. It was God, but it's not just for you. It's for you, or not just for them, but for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all these over here that are far off. That's us, right? Bremerton's just pretty honking far from Jerusalem, right? We all know that. And so, you get the idea here. It's the promise. And earlier in that, I didn't read that part in that second chapter, it's a few verses before that, it says that Jesus received the promise of the Spirit from the Father. And then he gave that to those who followed him. The church that Jesus wants is a Pentecostal church. Church that Jesus wants, in other words, is a church that's filled with the Spirit. And it doesn't mean, I think, what some of us that grew up in Pentecostal church think it meant. And I don't think it means exactly what it means people outside of Pentecostal church thought it meant. But I don't really care about all that. You know what I'm saying? I'm over that, right? I'm over having to explain to a Presbyterian what Foursquare means. I'm over that. Did that, right? But what I'm interested in going forward, aren't you? And I want to be a man of the Spirit. And I want to be a man of the Spirit in terms of my ministry. I want to hear from the Lord. In terms of my relationships, I want God to give me words I can share with people that I care about. And even maybe people I don't care about. There's a couple like that. And I certainly want the Holy Spirit to impact my character. I mean, you get a list like the works of the flesh, you know, hatred, murder, lust, jealousy, strife, division, anger, which really should be translated fits of rage. Don't ever justify a fit of rage if you're caught there. That's one of the, die to that, die to all of them. That's one list. What's the other list? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Which list do you like the most? I mean, you might have liked the other list, right? I went through. But honestly, how do you want to be treated? You want to be treated with hatred and strife and division and jealousy? No, nobody does. I want love. Please love me, right? Love and joy and peace. That's what we want. Well, one list is what you do on your own. The other list is what the Holy Spirit does in you. Amen? Yeah. So I want to be a man of the Spirit like that. And so Jesus, the Lord, when he chose, this will be the last remark I want to make today, but Zechariah, another prophet, the Lord said, I'm going to again choose Jerusalem. You return to me, I'll return to you. I'm going to choose, it's a little sermon I preached in Indonesia, and I'm going to give it to you in the two-minute version, okay? He chooses a place. And then he chose a person to do his purposes there. How he chose Jerusalem was he had somebody go out and measure it. Here's what it's going to look like. We're going to rebuild the wall, rebuild the temple, rebuild the housing. And that's it's a practical choosing. It's not just got a pleasant idea about Jerusalem, right? We're going to rebuild this place. I'm choosing Jerusalem, so it's going to look like something. He chooses people. He chose Joshua to be the high priest, and he chose Zerubbabel to be the building leader, contractor. Governor, like, what happens? Next chapter, Acts chapter 2, the devil comes, Satan goes before the Lord and says, you know, this Joshua's a sinner. Either Joshua had sinned or God, he's just being reminded that he's just a human being, you know, and a sinner because of Adam. What does God say? Take off the dirty clothes, put on the clean garments on him, and then don't think it's strange that I can do this. I could forgive the sins of an entire nation in a single day. Well, that's pretty good. So, in other words, don't mess with my man. I chose him, you know? Sorry to say something I won't say. And then the third thing, what does it say to Zerubbabel? It's not by might, it's not by power, but what? It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So Zerubbabel's out there, and he's looking at this formidable task and all the opposition, and maybe sensing his own inadequacy, but have this notion in his head, I'm the leader, I got to do this. And the guy saying, you're not that cute. You're not that clever. You know, you need me. It's by my Spirit. So God chooses a place, he chooses a person, and he chooses a power. And we need the Holy Spirit. And it just so happens that we live in the days of the Spirit. I mean, why in the world would you want to try to do it on your own? In fact, Paul even says that to the churches of Galatia in the third chapter. He said, are you foolish? Are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, you're now going to try to finish it in your flesh? It is foolishness, isn't it? So God give us the wisdom, amen, to walk as men and women of the Spirit. Now, what does this mean as far as like this afternoon, which we're heading right into it, right? Here's what I think it means. I think it means for each one of us that relax. Just relax. God is God, you're not, right? Just relax. And he wants us to partner with him, and he's given us his Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And doesn't mean that you have to be the pastor. Some of us are. And you got a good one here. We have different roles, different assignments, so just relax. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He can give you words to speak, to bless each other. Before we leave today, and the word you get might be a hug. I could use 5 or 6, all right? Just saying. But I mean, really, there could be things that God says to you. I had a gal come up to me, actually 2 or 3 come up to me. I was late. I missed part of the worship. I'm sorry. I was having half a bagel with 2 inches of coffee. But it was all about the fellowship. It wasn't about that. But one of the gals came up, and there was just, and I just, we're in that context. God just gave me a word to give her, you know? It wasn't like, thus saith the Lord. I didn't use King James. I used King Jimmy. No. I'm just saying, be available, that's all. And by the way, you know, when we leave here in a few minutes, it's not like we're going to leave the Holy Spirit here, right?
That's right.
We're going to walk out and wave goodbye, see you next service, you know? He goes with us, right? He goes with us. And so everything the Spirit of God is in your life, as a man or as a woman of the Spirit, everything goes with you out the door. It's not left here. And so I love being a part of a church service, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit's not limited. Now you are, right? That's why we have doors. You just can't go walking through the wall. Well, I've seen a couple people try. But honestly, you know, but he's not limited, is he? And so he's with us, he's in us, he's among us, and he has no limitations that the rest of us have. And so why would I think he's only going to show up in church in terms of somebody getting healed? Why would I think that he would encourage somebody only in church, right? Why would there be a word from God only here, right? It does happen here, amen? It should. We do, but listen, the reason why we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in a meeting like this is not because he's here and we kind of joined him. It's because we're here. It's kind of the composite joining together where we're all committed to Jesus Christ. He's committed to be with us when we gather in his name, right? And so he's here. When we go, he goes with us. Therefore, anything that can happen here can happen at that Valero gas station. Is it still a Valero? Or they sell it to somebody else? You know what I'm talking about? On Kitsap Way there on the right? Across from that Ace Hardware? Is that got a different name now? Okay. Well, the owner, by the way, of that is named Mohammed. And he's from Israel. He's a Palestinian. He's an Israeli Arab. So tell him that Jim said hi if you go in there. Anyway, I'm just saying it can happen at the gas station. It can happen here, in the parking lot, down the hall in your house, in Indonesia, anywhere we go. Amen? So there's no limitations, so I don't have to even bother with that. You know, here we go. Let's jump in. And the Holy Spirit will give us things to say and do. All right? Amen? You for that?
Yes.
All right. See if you can grab somebody's hand there, and let's pray together. Father God, we're so grateful for the fact that you gave the promise of the Spirit to the Son, and he in turn gave it to us. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, the church is not a human institution. This wasn't the idea of man. This was your idea. This is your idea. It was your idea to start it off on the day of Pentecost. It was your idea to give us your Spirit. It was your idea to build your church and allow us to be the church and to work with you in being the church and doing church and extending the church. It's all your idea, Lord, and we're so, so humbled and grateful to be a part of it. Bless this church. Bless every single person here and the churches and the families that all of us represent. In Jesus' name, fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and make our heart just say, that's what I want. And before I get home today, I'm just going to repeat again to the Lord, you know, I belong to you, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Use me by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. You believe that? You say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, church.